Well, while the basket's going around, you can take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 1. You know what? I got to keep these around all the time nowadays. I got giant print and still have trouble. Get my eyes to focus on things. Numbers, chapter 1. Brother Terry said, and Brother Joe's going to be gone for a while. I'm going to be teaching a series for a little while. I hope it'll be a help to me. I'm serious about that. I really felt like this is something God was dealing with my heart about for a good while now. I've looked at my life over the time that I've been saved. I got saved in 1984. I remember when I first got saved, boy, I just felt like I was burning up inside, you know, to get to do something for God and get the gospel out. And it was just like I remember right after I first got saved, it seemed like, boy, as Peter said, talked about a great flight of afflictions. And right after I got saved, it seemed like I had this desire to do things, but also seemed like there was enemies that were trying to stop me before I even got started. Yeah, any of y'all know what I'm talking about? You remember back when you first got saved, and boy, it just seemed like everything in the world was coming at you. I remember all kinds of problems rising up to the point I almost felt like I was ready to give up, turn back. But I felt like Jeremiah, that the Word of God was burning inside of my bones. I couldn't do it. I mean, just couldn't do it. I had to just keep on going on and work through that. And I looked over that time and my great desire that I had to be in the Word of God and to study the Bible. I was about to drive my wife crazy. It seemed like all I wanted to do was read the Bible and pray. I did. I mean, back when I first got saved, I had that desire. Any of you know what I'm talking about? When you got that, I mean, you just felt like you couldn't pray enough. You couldn't study your Bible enough. You had concerns. You know, I heard a lot of people talking about. I guess my life has been a little bit different because I listen to some people's testimony, and mine don't quite line up with hers. I'll just be honest with you; don't quite all together. They talk about, boy, how they had that great burden, and then, boy, when they got saved, that burden got lifted off. Mine seemed like it'd be the other way around. Before, I didn't feel like I had any kind of a burden. I was just living. My life was carefree. You know, I did what I wanted to. And, you know, I spent my time, you know, doing what I wanted. You know what I mean? Spent my time fishing and hunting and partying and eating and drinking and enjoying, you know, this world and the things of this world. But after I got saved, all of a sudden, it's like now all of a sudden, my eyes were open, you know, and it's kind of like Solomon said, much knowledge bringeth much sorrow. And all of a sudden I realized for the first time, people were perishing. People were perishing. People that didn't know Christ were going to die and go to a devil's hell. And after that, the hard part, after hell, it's going to get worse. They're going to the lake of fire. You know, hell just filled up with what people made. It's full of sorrows and this, that. But the lake of fire is full of the wrath and indignation of a holy God for those who, not for their sins, but for those who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And counted his blood as nothing. So after I got saved, I got under a burden. I mean, I was concerned about my wife, my children. You know, I wasn't sure if my wife was saved when I first got saved. Even though God had used her, you know, and it became a burden. And I prayed until I become secure in that. And my children, I was concerned. I scared them to death. I know I did, boy. I mean, I got in there, and I lined them up and preached to them. I mean, I said, now look, girls, if you're not saved, you know, when you die, you're going to go to this awful place. I mean, it's going to be terrible. And the worst part of it is, you're not just going to have to endure it for a little while. It's going to be forever lasting, without end. I said, that's the most horrible part about it. Oh, if it was just for a while, you know, you might say, well, I can make it through it. But you ain't no through it. It's forever. And boy, and I scared the fool out of them, you know what I mean? And some of them, you know, and I remember my two oldest daughters, you know, they I was able to get a profession out of them because I scared them so bad, you know what I mean? But they really wasn't saved. They wasn't saved. But I tell you what, though, I do think I planted a good seed in there. And got them frightened about some things and concerned about some things, and that it was a serious matter. Later, and matter of fact, my two youngest girls come to Christ when they were much younger, without my scaring them to death, but because they seen it, heard it all the time. A boy told me one time, he said, "I tell you what, David," he said, "keep the gospel, just give them the gospel, pray the gospel. Tell them about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for your salvation. Keep it in front of them at all times." He said the Holy Spirit can use that. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about emotions. It ain't about getting people to make decisions on emotions. It's about the truth. It's about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Our pastor's been doing, I think, a good job recently on this thing, the Word of God, trying to get us to see that it's the Word of God that makes all the difference, makes all the changes, hey, that is able to save people's souls and help them to grow in the Word of God, grow in truth and grace. You know, that's important. So when I got saved, I didn't feel a burden fall off me. I felt like a burden got put upon me. And my mama told me one time, she said, "Look," she said, "sometimes you don't seem like you're that happy." I said, "No, Mom, it ain't that." I said, "I got the joy of God inside of me. I know I'm saved and I'm grateful." I'm scaring this burden. And I'm so concerned about people. I said, "It's kind of hard to be happy. Hey, when you got sodomy in our country running amok. It's kind of hard to be all happy and joyful when you're seeing people forsaking, you know, the houses of God. When you see churches now, they're apostatizing and going away from the truth. It's kind of hard to be happy about these things." I said, "I've got the joy of God. That comes with the Holy Spirit. It's deep down inside. I can rejoice in the Lord." I said, "But be honest with you, I'm not that happy. Ain't a whole lot going on that's making me happy." You know what I mean? Huh? Everybody happy about this Supreme Court decision that's coming up? Is any of you happy when we voted and said, "No sodomy in North Carolina, we're against it, you know. We're not going to have homosexual marriage," and somebody come along and repealed it? I expected it. I really did. I knew. I told people, I said, "That thing won't last." I said, "This world is going to cram this stuff down our throat." And God, guess who's making the decision to let these things happen? You can sit there and blame it on the world, the flesh, and the devil if you want to, but it is God who's in charge. And God is turning this over, you know? He's waiting on to see some people that really care. Huh? I've been reading up through the Old Testament what God did over there to Israel, because they turned their back on God, and how it not only cost them, it cost the nations that was around about them, you know, Moab and different ones. It cost them. They after they come into the land, hey, they were to be light and salt for God. You know what I'm saying? They were supposed to shine forth and be different so the world could see a nation that was living after God. But they didn't do that. Instead, they followed those nations. What's the church doing? What's the church doing? A fellow told me a long time ago, "Hey, man, a little match in a dark room, man, it shines out. You're going to see it, right?" What are we doing? What's happening in this land? Man, we got young people today who know nothing about God, know nothing about the Word of God. You say, "Well, that's this world, that's this education." Hey, no. God, judgment starts at the house of God. Judgment starts with us. We're the ones that's going to give an account. We're the ones that's supposed to be salt and light in this world. And buddy, and here, I think the problem, and after judging my life and seeing, you start going on for a while, and next thing you know, you start getting old. You start want to get tired, and you start, I just ain't what I used to be, and I'm hurting, and I miss that, and nothing. What kind of excuse is that? Huh? What kind of excuse is that? I'm glad we got some men still on the firing line, no matter what their age is. I've told this story in here before. I'm going to tell it again. You can just bear with it. You know, about a man who was was Episcopal. He was an Episcopal priest. Got saved. He was a saved Episcopal priest. That's pretty rare, I'm going to tell you right now. Up in New York City. He was a saved Episcopal priest, knew God. He made it his duty to witness to somebody about the grace of God every day and try to lead people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made that his purpose. That's what he did. That was his main purpose as in life. And he did that. I mean, religiously, every day, reaching out with the gospel toward people. He got sick. He got sick to the point that he couldn't get out and walk anymore. He couldn't go through the village, you know what I mean? He couldn't go and knock the doors anymore. You know what? He grew up in a time they had something. It had a line on it and a receiver. And he could get on that thing and he could dial numbers. And he made it his duty. Hey, when he got to the point he couldn't go any further, he'd get on that phone and call people every day. You say, just strangers? Yes, he'd get on there and call people he did not know. Just went down through A, B, C, D and called through the phone book and tell people what Jesus Christ had done for him and what he could do. Now, if an Episcopal priest could do that, what's our excuse? If a fellow who has got an entire denomination who's apostatized and still knows the truth and still trying to reach out with the gospel, and nobody, I guarantee he didn't have a whole bunch of those there in the Episcopal Church, you know, go, brother, we behind you. No, just him and God. What's our excuse? We got a church here. I mean, we say we're for the gospel. We say we're behind, you know, getting the word of God out. And I tell you what, if a handful of people are reading back in the Bible, they came there and just a few men went out on these missionary journeys. And boy, they come into one town and they went to the magistrates and said, those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Even just a couple of men. They turning the world upside down? What's our excuse? I mean, we ought to be able to build a fire in our communities. What is the problem? That's what we're going to be looking at for a while. We're going to be discussing this. We're going to have a series. And we're going to look at that war. Sometimes I think we forgot we're at war. It's a war. Brother Jim said, it's not a financial problem. It's a moral problem. It's a problem with unrighteousness. It's a problem with ungodliness. It's a problem. The problem is spiritual wickedness. And I'm sad to say this. Hey, the evil is not just out in the world. Paul's told us, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Well, the mystery of iniquity, yeah, it's working in the world, but he wasn't talking about in the world. He was talking the mystery of iniquity was working inside the church with false doctrine, bad doctrine, false teaching, unbelief, all kinds of sins that's in our churches today. Prayerlessness, unconcern, laziness. And that's what we're going to be looking at. We've forgotten. We're at war. But in there ain't they. And there ain't going to be no end to it. Telling his brother today, I said, well, I'm still in the fight. He said, well, and I told him, I said, ain't going to be no getting out of it. You're going through it. When war comes, it's there. In this country, we haven't fought but one war on this soil. You know, and I think that's one of our problems here in America. We've had it so good. We've had it so good now that war has come, and it is. But I'm going to tell you something. Like the preacher was saying, it's going to have its effect. Are we ready? Let's look at Chronicles, and we'll get into what I'd like to bring out this morning. In Chronicles chapter 1, I'm again reading in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." You'll find that phrase, those that are able to go forth to war, you're going to find it again in verses 20. Look down at verse 20. It said, "And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war." Look down in 22, of the children of Simeon. And look down here, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. And again in 24, through the number of the names, the children of Gad, all that were able to go forth to war. In 26, the children of Judah, all that were able to go forth to war. In 28, of the children of Issachar, according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. In verses 30, it said, of the children of Zebulun, of the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. 32, all the way down to 45. And you look down in 45, after it named all the houses of Israel, named all the 12 tribes and the half-tribes, we come down to verse 45. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. I want you to notice that one phrase right there. All that were able. All that were able to go forth to war. I'm wondering. The war is before us. The battle is raging. How are we? No, he named every family there. I think that's significant. He named them by their families and by their names. All that were able to go forth to war. See, it was the responsibility of the heads of all those families to prepare their family. And then it was the responsibility of all those that were named after their families to be prepared to go forth to war. You don't go to war if you're not able. I'll be honest with you, if you were to put me into send me off like to someplace like Afghanistan or whatever, I'm not ready. I wouldn't be prepared. I'm not physically able. You know, if we had to run, you know, for a certain distance, you know, to get out of a line of fire or to get someplace to cover somebody, you know, in some type of crossfire, or I don't know how to use none of the equipment. If you'd put one of them, one of those automatic weapons in my hands with the grenade launchers and all the kind of stuff that they need to go forth to battle, I wouldn't even know how to put the armor on. That field armor. I wouldn't even know how to use none of that. I wouldn't know how to button it up. I wouldn't know how to install that equipment. I wouldn't know how to do it. I'm not prepared. I wouldn't be ready. I wouldn't be able to go forth to war if they were to send me someplace like Iraq or Afghanistan or right here in the neighborhood. But I tell you what, you come poking your nose around my house, you'll find I'm prepared to go to war right there. I got a 12-gauge. You come try to come through that door at night, you're liable to get it, you know. But the thing of it is, you got to be prepared. You go into war, there's got to be some preparation. And it, he made this statement. He said, of all these families that were able to go forth to war. Hey, we as the men of this church, it is our responsibility to prepare our children. Now, it's here every male, but this is a spiritual war that we're involved in. This is a spiritual war. It ain't just the males. Because the Bible said in Christ there's no difference, male nor female. So you're in a spiritual war. So not only does our young men need to be prepared, but we also have to have our young ladies prepared and made able to go forth to war. And one of the biggest problems is we do not know we're at war. We don't know that we're at war. We think we're at Sunday school. You know, we're just coming together to church. We're just getting together, you know, and boy, everything is whoopee-doo, whoopee-doo. No, we're at war. And we're supposed to be here in Sunday school. We're supposed to be here in preaching to be prepared to go out those doors because there's a war. There's a war. I'll tell you what, it comes through the doors here too. Sometimes you hear, and some of the biggest wars are fought right in the church house. Why do you think we have church splits? Why do you think we have apostasy? Why do you think we have all the kind of problems that are going on in the churches all across this country? Because there's a war. There's a war. We got to realize, first thing we got to realize that we're in a war. And to be able to know this, to be able to understand this, we ought to be able to see it. Look at the casualties. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but ask yourself, how many of your family that you know of that right now they're shipwrecked? I'm not trying to cause hurt feelings, but I'm just trying to get people to understand we're in a war. How many of your families, people you know, or loved ones, or friends, or family members, sons, or daughters, or nieces, or cousins, aunts, uncles, mothers, and fathers? And the devil, the world, and the flesh, and the devil has taken them prisoners. I wonder who may be in this room right now. You're a prisoner. You've been taken as prisoner. Man, I've had the devil take me many a time. I'm not going to lie about it. He'll take his mind. He'll get preoccupied in things. He'll take you prisoner. Children of Israel said, Jesus taught them. He said, everyone, you know, you're a servant. To whom you obey. Whether the spirit and the life or the flesh, you know, and the death, you know, you become a servant to them. And children of Israel said, hey, we were never in bondage to nobody. Or were they crazy? What do you mean they were never in bondage to nobody? They were 400 years in bondage down in Egypt. We were never in bondage to nobody. They were 70 years in bondage, you know, to the Chaldeans, you know, up in Babylon. We were never in bondage to nobody, they said. They were in bondage right then. The devil had them. They were in bondage. They were prisoners. They were prisoners of war. Maybe that's part of our problem. We don't understand we're at war, but if we can start to see the casualties. Look, Maybe I can wake us up if we look and see the casualties. We see people that we love and care about and see them, how they've been taken. They're given over. They've given up. They're not doing anything for God. They don't seem to have no spiritual life, no concern about what's going on. I mean, we got to be aware of these things. Wake up. That's what I'm saying. Wake up, David. You need to be awake. Look at your own self. You find yourself maybe slipping, maybe giving in to some things, just kind of just going with the flow. Or are you making yourself ready? Are you getting yourself fired up? Are you saying, hey, look, this is a war. I need to be aware. I need to understand that there's a war going on. Hey, and God has called me to be a soldier in this war. That's the first thing we got to realize. It's a war. We're in a war. We try to make... His brother spent several campaigns. I was talking to him about a little bit about Vietnam. And I asked him a little bit about campaigns, you know. And, you know, for the longest time, nobody would even talk about, you know, the Vietnam War. And it was a conflict. I forget how many. I looked about 20 years ago, because over in the scripture says, in the last days there should be wars and rumors of wars. And I looked. And there was over 50 border skirmishes going on around the world at that time. Wars and conflicts all over the globe going on. But we sat here, thought we were at peace. You know? We were here feeling confident. You know? Boy, sure, 9/11 sure kind of got some people woke up about some things. But it didn't take them long. They rolled back over and pulled the covers back around and went right back to sleep. Wonder where that came from. Wonder why are we going back to sleep? Man, why ain't we holding our government's feet to the fire about things like that? You know? We have something happen, you know. We have a man die tragically. I don't know whose fault it was. Here, up here in Baltimore, and people get out and, you know, and riot and do all kinds of things, you know, because they say there's injustice in the land. Well, there is injustice in this land. Where are those who righteously are willing to stand up, be counted, make a fight? Say, we're not going alone. We're going to stand for what's right and do it because we love God and love people. When's that going to come? I think sometimes we forget that we're at war. I think that's part of the problem. Hey, you know what they were doing right here? He said, count them, number them. Hey, all those that are able to go forth to war. In other words, they've been preparing them. They've been letting them know, hey, we're getting ready to come into the land. We're getting ready to go to war, you know. So you need to be ready. I'm here to tell you, we're not getting ready to go to war. We're already in the war, and better yet, we need to be in training. If we're not, like I said, man, they take me over there. Some of you, hey, Brother Ed, how would you like to have to go be overseas in a fight right now? No, wouldn't be prepared, would you? Huh? Brother Melvin? Huh? Wouldn't be prepared, would you? Huh? I don't know if we could get prepared. We're about wore out. I guess we could do our very best, you know. We could make ourselves a little better prepared. At least we could know how to use the weapons, you know. You could be like that Episcopal priest. He wasn't able to walk them streets anymore, but he found a way to stay in the war. I tell you what, there are some people who can't get out of bed. They're doing more for this war that we're in than any of us that are able to get up and go. There's more in this spiritual war than having physical ability. You need to have some spiritual ability. You need to have some discernment. You have to know about the weapons of this warfare and how to use them if we're going to make a difference in this war. That's the kind of things we're going to be looking at. These are the kind of things we need to get a hold of and realize if we're going to fight, we got to realize that first off, we're in a war. I'm going to read some verses and let's see, I say I am. I got them here somewhere, I think. Well, I did have them. Don't tell me I didn't mislaid it. it'd be like me not prepared for war. All right. Take your Bibles. With that thought, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in a war. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what that verse tells me? Paul knew that he was in a war. Look at what he said. First off, he said, I'm beseeching you understand. Some of you think, you know, I'm in the flesh. Some of you think I'm walking after the flesh, but Paul goes on. He said, yeah, even though I'm walking in his flesh, he said, I think to be bold against some. He said, I'm saying, look, he said, you're sitting here, and I'm telling you the Word of God. I'm telling you the truth that God's given me to give you, and you sitting there, and you got attitudes against me. You said, he just thinks he's somebody. He just thinks he's in the flesh. It don't make no difference. Paul was trying to get them to see that. This ain't about me. Paul was saying, this ain't about me. This is about God. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about what we've been given to do as part of His body. This is about what is the truth. Not about me. Not about you. It's about what's true and right. And that's what Paul was trying to get them to see. And he said, look, he said, hey, you might think, hey, I'm in the flesh, but look at what he said about it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So Paul, you know what Paul was saying? Hey, I war. I'm at war. He said, not only am I at war, notice what he says here too. He said, the weapons of this war, he's familiar with them. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not something you can do in the flesh. Or if there was some way that, man, we could get a beat on the devil, you know. Man, if I could get him in the room with my 12-gauge and level that thing, I'd give him everything in the boat. You know what I'm saying? But I can't. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And then he goes on and says, because them carnal weapons are weak. They're not. Because notice what he says then. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. But mighty through God. Boy, if we just had a man... You could take all the powers of the hydrogen bombs, have them all in your control. You could not pull down one stronghold with them. You try to use them things against the devil, and the devil will use them against you. For our weapons are not carnal. They're weak. When going against the battle that we're in, anything we do after the flesh, anything we do that is physical, it's going to be weak. That's the reason why the Bible says, hey, physical exercise profiteth little. Therefore, exercise yourself unto godliness. There's profit in that. And Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty unto God. So he knew that he was in a war, and he is preparing himself. Okay, look over at 1 Timothy 1:16. I said 1 Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. No? Man, I wrote something down wrong. Having that problem. Getting up. Am I missing something? My goodness. Okay, look over here at 2 Timothy. I don't know how I wrote something down wrong. 2 Timothy, chapters 2. In verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able. Look at that word, able. They were able to go forth to war. Who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So again, he's saying there's a warfare. Again, he's telling him, says, look, you're to be a soldier. Again, he's saying, look here, he said, you, to those that are able. So you got to be trained. He's making that plain here. He said, not only that, he's saying, look, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be, you're going to have to endure some things. Well, I said, those of you that have been in the military, boy, and they trained, you had to endure some things. Man, it was hard. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's been a bunch of guys that wanted to wash out, and they wouldn't let them. They just give them a boot heel and said, keep going, boy. Huh? You know? So there's going to be some hardness. I remember a boy telling me when he was in Paris Island, they had an old boy, he crawled up under the barracks and eat toothpaste for like 4 days before they found him. It was too hard to him. He wasn't ready for that. You know? Guess what? They didn't wash him out. They started him over again. Boy, he said, we ain't just going to wash you out just because you think you were, hey, you're going to stay with the program, you know? Got him out from there, put him in the brig for a while. Hey, got him, you know what I'm saying? Put him in the big brig, give him some KP to do, and then got him right back out there, and he had to start the whole program all over again, you know? Hey, sometimes God will send us back to do the program all over again if we don't get it the first time, okay? I'd just soon go ahead and get through the basic, wouldn't you, if we can? God said right here, but this had to happen. You got to endure some things. Look in, over in James 4. James chapter 4. Look at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? I said a moment ago, we got that problem in our churches, did we not? People fightings within, fightings without. He said, come they not hence, even of your lust, which war in your members? You in a war. Notice where it said. It's in your members. these members, wars in my body, within my flesh. But we're all part of one body, are we not? Huh? So it wars in our members. There's a war going on. It's coming against us. It's coming against you. It's warring inside of us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever been to war like this, brother, and different ones that's been involved in a war and in campaigns, you had that there too, did you not? You had that war. It was in your mind. And the Bible says, and Satan warreth against the mind. But you had to bring that thing. You got to bring that thing in subjection. You got to prepare it. And that's what they tried to do. That boy, he fell out. He was ready to fall out. He crawled. I'm getting away somehow or another. He crawled up under them barracks. They come dragging him out, buddy. It ain't that easy. You're not getting out of it. You can't. It ain't but one way out. I don't even know. A lot of people, you know, there's people who commit suicide to get out of it. My wife's cousin just did that this past week. You say, was he lost? I'm not sure. From the testimony of some of the people that knew him, they believed that he was saved. But he despaired. You know why? He was a casualty. He was taken. This war had beat him down. You ask anybody who was a prisoner of war. I'll never forget this guy who was taken over there, and I remember watching a story about his life when he was prisoner of war over in Vietnam, and the things that they did to him. He told the new men to come down. He said, "When you break," he said, "'cause you're going to break. You're going to break. You're not going to believe what they're going to do to you." He said, "Don't condemn yourself." He said, you can't withstand it. They're going to break you. And they did. They beat them down. You don't know what you'll do. So I'm not judging, but he allowed himself to be taken a prisoner, and it brought him to suicide. Look, we got to get prepared, is what I'm saying. Because the war is arrayed against us. It's coming against us. It's taking the lives of our children. Hearing all the time about this one took their life, this one took their life, this one took their life. Jesus warned of that. He said, last days, he said, men's hearts failing them for fear. You'd be like old Saul over there. You know the Lord has then took it away from you. You know God's already told him. He said, look, I'm taking it away from you. I'm taking it away from your house. You're going to die. Called up old Samuel. Samuel said, what are you doing, man? Consorting with witches. Brought me up before you. He said, I done told you. God has took it away from you. He said, this day you'll be with me. He said, you're going down to the grave. We is that the way we want to end up? He was a mighty warrior for God, was he not? He was head and shoulders above the people at one time. He forgot where the war was at. He forgot those wars within his own members. It pulled him down. Oh, he ready to go forth the war against those that was out there, but he wasn't ready to do warfare in his own house. And that's what those fellows over there in the book of Numbers, they had to prepare their house to be able to go forth to war. Look in 1 Peter 2:11. We've got to get done here. 1 Peter 2:11. Now it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king and supreme or the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Again, Peter tells us and warns us, hey, that there is a war that is in our members. I'm gonna read through some stuff, and then we'll be done. I'm just going to read this. What this study is about, and I just got these. I ain't going to give you no scripture verses. You can go. I hope you take notes. And you can look through those scripture verses again and add to them. But this study is hopefully going to be an examination of ourselves to see if we're able, if we are able right now to go forth to this war, to examine ourselves, whether we're able and equipped for the war, this spiritual war that I'm talking about. And if we're not prepared to make ourselves able, to equip ourselves to battle with the weapons that Paul knew were mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, to equip ourselves and to train our minds for battle, to be able for this war that we're involved in right now, today. Number one, we must first understand that we are at war and we are in a war. A person that thinks he is at peace, hey, does not study warfare. When you think you're at peace, you're not going to be out here, you know, studying about war. You know, if you were wise, you would, because, hey, wars are going to come. The Bible says so. You could be like the Spartans did, you know, who trained up their children from the time they were just little to go forth to war. But a person that thinks he has peace does not study warfare. A person that does not know he has enemies will not prepare to face his enemies. So we got to understand that we have enemies and know our enemies. And when a person thinks he has peace, he will not take up weapons and become skillful with these weapons. As I said, I'm not prepared to go to war in Afghanistan or Iraq. I'm not skillful in the weapons that you would need to go forth to that kind of war. And we need to examine ourselves and see if we're skillful in the weapons of the war that we're in right now. And for us to go to war, to mount up a campaign, we must first see that there's a cause, a reason, a cause to go forth to war. WW2, a world at war. Pearl Harbor, we thought we was at peace until Pearl Harbor. And buddy, when the enemy came upon us and we lost all those men, and boy, and our navy was decimated. Buddy, I mean, you know, all of a sudden we realized, hey, we're at war. We woke up then. Then we prepared to fight. Then we began to know our enemies, and we began to prepare weapons against those enemies. But you got to first wake up and realize you're at war. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.